But what exactly is faith? Biblical faith is not just like a jump over a cliff. Rather, biblical faith is more like a walk in faith. Bible describes faith as a journey, walking daily to follow God. But during this daily journey, everyday living, what do you do when you meet with obstacles? For example, an employment, maybe broken relationship or serious illness. In these challenging situations, do you continue to trust in God, or do you take matters in your own hand? Deal with it yourself. In today's text, which we read about Abraham. At that time, his name is Abram. He lived in the promised land, but the land around him was faced with famine. The Bible describes it as a severe famine. So what do you do? He took matters in his own hand, and he made a decision to chase after bread. Just in case you are sympathizing with Abraham, he says, well, after all, you know, he need to eat to survive, right? When we think about another person, Jesus, before Jesus started his ministry, God allowed him to face the first temptation by the devil. And that was after 40 days of fasting, without eating, the devil come to him. Says, if you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. Well, Jesus faced the urge, the instant, the need of eating. And also, he had the power to turn the stones into bread. Yet Jesus refused. He rather submit to the will of God and let God in his timing to provide what he need. So you see, it's not today's scripture is not about a matter of making wise choices. Today's message is upon how we orientate our life. Do we orientate our life in trusting God, or do we orientate our life in taking control of yourself, taking matter in your own hand? In life, we have many opportunities of choices. Do we choose bread out of God's will, or choose stones which is inside God's will? Let us learn from Abraham today. In verse 10, it says, now there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to live there for a while because the famine was severe. There was a famine in the land, and the famine was severe. As a result, Abram went down to Egypt. There were no indication that God told Abram to go to Egypt, nor anything to say Abram prayed about it, prayed to God what to do. But Abram decided to went down to Egypt. Egypt has lots of food because its abundance is due to the constant supply of River Nile. In the Old Testament, Egypt frequently represents a worldly response to a spiritual challenge. Whenever the Israelites face a spiritual battle, Egypt is always there, pulling intention, drawing Israelites to turn to them. Remember when Israel, in the history of Israel, when they faced with security threat from other countries, maybe Syria, Assyria, Babylon, Babylonians, Israel frequently formed an alliance with Egypt instead of seeking God, their God, for salvation. Here, the Bible's writer described Abram went down to Egypt. You know, whenever you are going down something, it is usually not good. In the scripture, you go up to Jerusalem to be with God, to worship God. But here, Abram went down to Egypt. Faced with a famine, a severe famine, instead of waiting upon God, who promised to make him a great nation, God who says, I will give you this land and I will make your name great. I will make you a great nation. How can you be great when you are not in this nation? Abraham interprets the famine as God's inability or unwillingness to take care of him. So he took matter into his own hand and he went down to Egypt. As Christians, God does not promise us a smooth and easy life. Most often than not, God allows suffering, disappointment, and setbacks as a necessary part of building our faith in him. Let's think for a moment. If God's blessings are always given without suffering, we would be inclined, it's very natural, want to serve God for what we can get out of it, right? It is kind of like a prosperity gospel. Now, if God's always blessings, always is no suffering, we will naturally just, who wouldn't follow God? Who wouldn't believe in God? But by interrupting acts of faith from their rewards with hardship, God saves his people from selfishness and develops such virtues as faith, hope, patience, and upright character. You see, hardship actually built us up. There was a story about an experimental plant. Somewhere in the city, they built a biosphere. This is research done to prepare plants living in outer space. So they discovered they built a biosphere, that is everything controlled, the environment is all controlled, and they plant a tree and give the ideal temperature, moisture to this plant. Control environment. And then if they're given the right nutrients, the tree grew very fast, faster than a similar tree that grew planted outside in the environment. Wow, that tree grow. And you know what happened? Eventually, that tree grows so huge that it collapsed by its own weight. You know why? Because in that control environment, there was never any wind to blow and test this plant. You see, for a tree to grow strong, it needs the stress of a wind. You ever see the wind outside in a windy day? You will see the tree almost fall down over. Yet, this is the way to build up the durability, the strength of this tree. God used trial, suffering to build up our character and make us strong in our spiritual life. In life, will we abide with stones in God's will, or go out of God's will to find bread? Out of God's will, we may find food, but we will starve spiritually. Verses 11 to 16. We read that as Abram tried to avoid one trouble, it leads to another. Isn't that usual in life? We try to run away from one trouble, and then we face with another trouble. Some people complain about my marriage. I want to get away from this marriage. I want to do something else. And it turned out the alternatives is not as rosy as one might think. Abram went down to Egypt. But as he was near there, he realized the beauty of his wife, Sarai, may give him another trouble. Abram feared that the Egyptians will kill him in order to get his wife. Abram fears that he can only escape death by lying. Sarah is my sister. As Sarai's brother, Abram can save his skin. Yet this put Sarai's honor and purity at risk and jeopardized God's plan of a holy seed coming out of Abram and Sarah. If you were Abraham, what would you do at the boundary of Egypt? What would you do? It boils down to the choice. Is being defiled better than death? As Christians, we frequently face difficult moral choice. Should we exaggerate our credentials in order to get a desperately needed job? If we act out of fear, we are not acting out of faith. God had promised protection to Abraham. God said, I will bless you. I will bless those who bless you. And whoever curses you, I will curse. So in other words, God promised to protect him based on how people treated Abraham. Anyone who cursed you, God said, I will curse. The Bible says, without faith, we cannot please God. Furthermore, as a coward, the coward denies God the opportunities to glorify himself. Jesus said that unless we take up his cross, the symbol of death, we are not worthy to be his disciples. Jesus warns his disciple Peter that Satan will tempt him to disown his Lord to save himself. It turned out Peter failed. Yet afterwards, Peter repented of his cowardice. Are you prepared to risk your life for the glory of God? That is the ultimate choice. I hope you will not face that choice. But it is a choice that God wants us to prepare ahead of time. Is being defiled better than death? In the Bible, lots of examples. Daniel rather risked his life in Babylon rather than defiled. And God reveals his glory. Esther risked her life. If I die, let it be. And Queen Esther's life, faith, allowed God to work his magnificent acts. What is your choice? What is your decision? Verse 16 says, Pharaoh treated Abram well for her sake, and Abram acquired sheep and cattle, male and female donkeys, manservant and maidservant, and camels. As a result of Abraham's deceit, he ended up with great wealth. Is this a sure sign of God is blessing him? In the next chapter, actually, chapter 13, we saw that because of Abraham's great wealth, too many livestock in the olden time, great wealth is defined by how much livestock you have. Abram and his nephew Lot have to separate. Because of the great wealth, do you want a great wealth and have your family broken up? Then we follow to verses 17 to 20. 17 to 20, it tells us that though Abraham fails the test of faith, God proves faithful and takes pity upon his children. God supernaturally intervened and inflicted Pharaoh and his household with serious illness. And Pharaoh gave up Sarah. So when Pharaoh confronted Abraham, we notice Abraham was silent. There is no defense, probably indicating a silent admission of guilt. So, in summary, Abraham, instead of being a blessing to others, in this case, Abraham becomes a curse to others. Instead of getting blessings, he received a rebuke from a pagan king. As Christians, I hope that we are a blessing instead of a curse to people around us, at our workplace, in our schools, in our communities. Ultimately, this today's story is not about Abraham, but about God. Despite Abraham's lack of faith, God is still faithful. Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy says, if we are faithless, God will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Psalms 103 begins like this. Praise the Lord, O my soul. O my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all our sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. This is our God, who forgives all our sins and raises us from the bottom pit. It does not matter how deep a pit you are in. There is no sin God cannot forgive and restore. Later on, in the following chapter, so Abram went up from Egypt to Negev. Abram went up from Egypt to Negev. And then, verse 3, eventually he went from place to place until he came to Bethel. Bethel can be pronounced as Baal. Bet is the house, El is God. So is Abram eventually settled, came back to Baal, house of God. And the scripture says, where he first built an altar. When he first came to Baal, Abram built an altar. After drifting from faith into Egypt, went down to Egypt, now he went back up, go back to the same place of where he built his first altar. There, Abram called on the name of the Lord. So in faith journey, we can travel around. We can drift it away from God. Yet, when that happened, God is gracious. God will always accept us and call us back. All we have to do is come back to him in repentance. Here, the relationship between God and his chosen servant, Abraham, is fully restored once again. And so can we. I don't know how many of you are faced with difficult choices in your life. Maybe for some of you, it is a choice of your future spouse. For others, maybe of what career, university, program you should take. For others, maybe it's a change of career, taking a major investment, change of job. Remember, the Bible says, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labors in vain. Invite God. Let God be part of your life and your decision, and follow his will, choosing the stones in God's will rather than the bread outside God's will. Let us pray. Dear Lord, it's a simple story, but yet it's a story that reflects our journey of faith in you. And may these stories energize us to have deeper trust and faith in you, knowing that even in harsh circumstances, you will not forsake us. And help us to hold on to you in whatever choices we make. Thank you, Lord, because you